Amen. This is my first Roundup Sunday here at Lane Prairie, and I just messed up because I rounded up some more, and I forgot to mention them. But our other evangelism professor, the better evangelism professor, Carl Bradford, his wife Andrea and their two kids are here, Junior and Abby. And we also have the Thomases here, right down here on the front. And we're glad to have them here today. I just want to say a word to this church. I said it Sunday night, but not all of y'all were here. So y'all come next Sunday night to the evangelism training, and I won't have to say it then. But I just want to say thank you to this church. I want to thank Pastor Jerry and Andrea and thank Pastor Ricky and Pastor Jake, wherever he went. These guys have been healing salve to our souls. They have loved on us, given us opportunities. And I want to thank this church for accepting our family. I'm the worst member of this church because I'm hardly ever here because I'm preaching somewhere. But you all have loved on our family, and we just want to thank you so much for that. And I also want to also thank you because this church faithfully gives to the cooperative program. Whether or not you know it, you're my boss because you give money to help support missionaries that are going overseas, church planters here in America, and also the professors that teach at the six Southern Baptist seminaries. So you all are my boss, and every dollar we give, this church gives, is a dollar we don't have to charge our students in tuition. And I want to thank you so much for the support of that. All right, before I start crying, let's take our Bibles, our tablets, and phones. And if you would, please go to the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings chapter 12. And this morning we're going to begin reading in 1 Kings chapter 12. And as we move there, we'll be beginning in verse 25. And the title of my message is to examine an examination of our hearts. An examination of our hearts. I want you to notice whenever we read in this text this morning, when it talks about Jeroboam, and every decision he made influenced his worship. And those decisions were not made in his head, but I want you to notice what the text says. It says it was made in his heart. It says it twice. And brother and sister, friend that's visiting here today, I want you to know that every decision you make about worship or not worshiping will be made in your heart as well. And today I want you this morning to open your heart to the Lord, to His Spirit. Open your heart to Him and open your ears to see what He's asking and calling you to do. Because maybe there needs to be an examination of your heart today as well. Follow along with me in the text. I'm reading from the New King James Version this morning. 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings chapter 12, beginning in reading verse 25. The Bible says, "Then Jeroboam built Shechem in the mountains of Ephraim, and he dwelt there, and he went out from there, and he built Penuel. And Jeroboam," listen to this, "said in his" what, church? "Heart." He said in his heart, "Now if the kingdom may return to the house of David, if these people go and offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the" what, church? "Heart of this people will turn back to their Lord, Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will kill me and go back to Rehoboam, king of Judah." Therefore the king asked advice, and he made two calves of gold, and he said to the people, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt." And he set one up in Bethel, and the other he set up in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one as far as Dan. And he made shrines on the high places, and made priests from every class of people who were not of the sons of Levi. Jeroboam ordained a feast on the 15th day of the 8th month, like the feast that was in Judah, and offered sacrifices on the altar. So he did at Bethel, sacrificing to the calves that he had made. At Bethel, he installed the priests of the high places which he had made. And so he made offerings on the altar, which he had made at Bethel, on the 15th day of the 8th month, in the month that he had devised, look at this, in his own what, church? Heart. And he ordained a feast for the children of Israel, and he made sacrifices on the altar, and he burned incense. I don't know about you, but one of my favorite preachers to ever listen to is David Jeremiah. Anybody know? Yeah, I love David Jeremiah. And on David Jeremiah's program, sometimes he'll talk about, if you support his ministry, he'll send you a CD of a Christian comedian called Ken Davis. Maybe you've heard of him. Ken Davis tells a story about one time when he was on a comedy tour all over the United States. He went from place to place to place. He'd lost track with what was going on in the world, and he was going to take a plane to go home. He went by the little store there, picked up a newspaper, stuck it there underneath his arm, and he walked onto the plane, and there he wanted just to get a little bit of a cat nap, and then he was going to catch up on the current events that he'd missed out on. He took his paper that was underneath his arm, and he put it there on the chair underneath him. He greeted the man that was sitting beside him, and he sat down on that newspaper. As they took off and got up about 30,000 feet in the air, he had just gotten into his REM, his great sleep right there. And all of a sudden, the guy that he had greeted beside him kind of took his elbow and punched him. And he woke up. He thought the plane might be going down there for a second and realized the plane was not going down. He said, "Well, what's going on? How can I help you?" He said, "Well, sir, are you reading that?" Ken Davis said, "Reading what?" He said, "That paper." Ken Davis unbuckled his seatbelt, got up, took the paper, turned the page, put it back down, sat down on it, and said, "Actually, yes, I am. I'm working the crossword puzzle right now." Now, that's the way that some of us do when it comes to God's Word. Instead of standing on the promises, we're sitting on the premises. Instead of looking to what God's Word says, we want to do what our word and our will says. And brothers, that's the reason why we need to examine our hearts. And in this text, we see a test case. And the King Jeroboam, the first king of the northern tribes of Israel, the 10 tribes of Israel, we see a test case in Jeroboam's life. And as we do, I want you to look and see how his heart affected his worship. And I don't want it just to stay there on the pages of the Bible. I want you to open your heart to see how is your heart, whether you're a Christian, whether you're a non-Christian, how your heart is affecting your worship of God. As we read in the text, we read that Jeroboam is setting up his kingdom, the northern 10 tribes of Israel. You see, before that, the Bible tells us in chapter 11, if you were to look back there, don't look now, you can look later, but in chapter 11 it says that Solomon was the king of Israel. He was David's son. He was the king over all the 12 tribes of Israel, but he had actually disobeyed the Lord, and he had gone after other gods, and his people were worshiping false gods. He had set up worship on high places to worship Canaanite gods and other gods that were not true gods. And God was angry with him. And so God sent the prophet Ahijah to Jeroboam, who was a worker for Solomon, by the way. And he took his coat off, the prophet did, and he tore it into 12 pieces and laid it on the ground. And Ahijah said to Jeroboam, "Take in your hand 10 pieces of the raiment of my garment." So when the prophet of God speaks, Jeroboam listened, and he took 10 pieces. And he said, "Just as you have taken in your hand 10 pieces the raiment of my garment, so shall the Lord your God put the 10 tribes of Israel in your hand, and you will be their king. But as long as you don't worship other gods, as long as you do things God's way and not your way like Solomon's doing, God will set up a throne for you just like he has his servant David, who he's keeping the two tribes underneath Rehoboam, the son of Solomon." So when he hears that, Solomon is not too happy. And so Jeroboam goes to Egypt. That's important. He goes to Egypt to Shishak, the ruler there. And there he stays until the death of Solomon. And when the death of Solomon happens, his son Rehoboam becomes the king. And as Rehoboam becomes the king, he starts putting heavy labor laws down on the people. So much so that they call down to Egypt for Jeroboam to say, "Jeroboam, we're done with Rehoboam. We want you to be our king." And so Jeroboam comes back, and that's where we pick up in the text. And the Bible says Jeroboam built Shechem in the mountains of Ephraim. And as he built this in Ephraim, he builds his palace here. He He subsidizes his military strength and he sets up a strong foundation for his people to go and conquer other places there in his fortress. And he dwelt there in his palace. He then went out from there and he built Penuel. Penuel was a caravan trade road, and so he established his economic base. He had his military base established. He had his economic base established. All he had to do was now do things God's way. Do you know some of you right now, when it comes to your pocketbook, you'd love to have a lot more money, but you're pretty stable right now. When it comes to things going well and having all that you want, you feel like you're doing pretty good right now. And the Lord your God tells you to worship Him. But what happens in our heart? God, I've got this. Anybody done that before? God, I've got, and that's exactly what Jeroboam does. The Bible says he started to think in his heart, if these people go back down to Jerusalem to worship God, they're going to forget about me. They're going to make Rehoboam their king once again, and I'm going to be in trouble. And so he said, I've got to do something, and that decision started in his heart. I want you to first of all see the first thing that he teaches us here today is that listening to your heart, just like Jeroboam listened to his heart, listening to your heart instead of God's word will affect, look at this, who you worship. It'll affect who you worship. Look what the Bible says in verse 28. Therefore the king asked advice, and he made, look at this, 2 calves of gold. Have we ever seen a golden calf before in the Old Testament? Yeah, in fact you have. In Exodus chapter 32, Moses goes up to receive the temple, he goes up to receive the tablets of stone, the Ten Commandments. And while he's up there, the people think that he's dead. And the Bible says that they take their gold earrings, their gold nose rings and tongue rings and finger rings and everything else, and they give their gold to Aaron. And they said, make for us a God because Moses has died up there on the mountain. And the Bible says that Aaron fashioned a golden what? Calf. That's where we see it. Now, listen, I like steak just as much as you do. Amen? And we're going to have some good brisket here in just a minute. But why in the world do they make a golden calf to worship? Here's why. Because when they were back in Egypt, there was a false god. And he was, guess what, in the form of a what? A calf. His name was Apis. He actually was kind of a demigod to Ptah, another false Egyptian god. And the children of Israel saw the people, and even some of them might have worshipped that calf, Apis, there in Egypt. So they go back to what they used to worship, and they begin to do it. Moses comes down from the mountain. God sends him back down. He sees the people dancing and worshiping this calf. And he says, Aaron, what happened? And Aaron said, well, they just gave me the gold and I threw it in the fire and out popped a calf. That's what he said. That was a bunch of bull, not a calf. And that's what happened. Remember Jeroboam, he went back down to Egypt when he fled Solomon. And guess what he encountered there? The worship of Apis. And he comes back and he fixes and fashions and makes 2 golden calves. And here's what he says to the people. It's too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods. These 2 golden calves. Here are your gods, O Israel, that brought you up out of the land of Egypt. What happened, the decision that happened in Jeroboam's heart affected who he worshiped. What does God's word say? Who does God's word say we should worship? Him alone. The first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. Right? That's what God's word says. But Jeroboam's heart said, I'm going to worship what I want to worship. There are some of you here today that you may not have a statue that you're worshiping, a golden calf, a Buddha, but there is something that you're worshiping, and it's what you invest your whole entire attention to. It might be your portfolio. It might be a relationship. It might be, maybe it's a phone that you can't get your eyes off of. I don't know what your God is, your false God, but there's something maybe in your life that is keeping you from God. Maybe you're worshiping yourself. Today, God is calling you to examine your heart and to not listen to your heart. That's what the world says. Listen to your heart. The Word of God says, listen to His Word. And today He's calling you to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, your God. You say, how do I do that? You must admit that you're a sinner. You must admit that you're worshiping the wrong God. You must believe that you have disobeyed God and that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, the God-man, in the flesh to die on the cross for your sins and mine, in His body, on the tree, taking the wrath of God against your sin and mine. And He was put into a tomb. And 3 days later, by resurrection power of the Holy Spirit, He raised from the dead. And to put your faith in what Jesus Christ did for you. Turning away from your sin, repenting, turning away from self, turning away from your heart, and opening your heart so Jesus can come in. Today, would you like to make that decision? Listening to your heart instead of God's word will affect who you worship. You know, there's some people who say, you know, if I could only see God, if I could touch Him and feel Him, I would worship God. But brothers and sisters, there's Buddha statues you can touch and see, and they're not God. But we've got His Word, and today His Word has been delivered to you. That He is true and real, just as real as you can touch and see Him. And today, He calls you to Himself. There's a second truth we see from Jeroboam's life. Second truth, listening to your heart instead of God's word will also affect not only who you worship, but look at this, it'll affect where you worship. Look what the Bible says in verse number 29. And he set one of these golden calves up in Bethel. Bethel is the Hebrew word. Beth is house of, El is God. He set one up in the house of God, Bethel. It was just about 20-some miles north of Jerusalem. It was the southernmost part of his kingdom. He set one right there so that anybody that would want to go down to Jerusalem, they'd have to avoid the golden calf to get to the temple. And nobody wanted to do that. They wanted to see this great calf. And so they would go to the calf instead of going to the temple to worship God. The Bible says the other one, what happened to the other one? The other one he put in Dan. That was in the northernmost part of his kingdom. So in the north and in the south, he set up these golden calves for people to worship. That's where they were to worship. Not in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was God's way. God's word said, worship me in the temple. But he said, nope, Dan and Bethel. And then not only that, look at this. He also made shrines, verse 31, on the high places. Anywhere there was a mountain, a cliff, or a high hill, he would set up houses of false worship there too. In other words, the people had to really want to go to Jerusalem in order to worship God. It affected where he and Israel worshiped. Do you know some of you, we're thankful that you're here. You've not been to church ever. You've not been to church in a long time. Some of you are here, and in your heart, you've told yourself, you know, I can worship God anywhere I want to. But my question is, do you? I remember I witnessed to a guy one time. He said, I can go out and worship God out in the forest. I said, when's the last time you do that? He said, I hadn't done that. I said, that's what I thought. Where are you worshiping God? I remember a story about a man who used to go to church. He was faithful in church, but he missed one Sunday. And guess what? It became easier for him to miss what? Another Sunday, and yet another Sunday. And he got away from the church. And it was a cold winter night. Snow was falling. And all of a sudden, the pastor of that church had missed his church member. He was going after his sheep. And he went up to the door there at the night. And the man saw him coming. He says, I'm getting ready to get a verbose sermon. You know, I've missed out on some. I'm going to have to catch up on it. And so he came to the door, and he invited the preacher in out of the cold. And they sat down there beside the fireplace inside his house. You know, that pastor that he expected to preach a long-winded sermon, he didn't say one word, but just stared into the fireplace as it began to flame. That pastor got up and he got tongs and he took those tongs and he put it down into the fire and he held out of that fire a coal that was burning, yellow and red. It was burning and it was hot. And he held it up to that church member right there and he laid it down on the hearth. Put the tongs down. And you know what happened to that burning ember? Red and yellow that was burning with heat. You know what happened to it on the hearth? It began to turn gray and cold and ashen. The preacher, with tears in his eyes, looking at that member of his church, got up and he took that little piece of ash and he picked it up and he threw it back in the fire. And immediately, guess what happened? It began to burn again. And the pastor walked to the door and the man said, "Pastor, thank you for your fiery sermon. I'll see you in church Sunday morning." There are some of you here this morning. You're welcome here. Everybody here is welcome here, right, Pastor? They're welcome. But you don't yet belong here because you've never joined with this church. You've been searching for a church. You've been saying, "God, send me a church." Guess what? God sent you one, and it's this one. God today is asking you and calling you to stop listening to your heart, start listening to His Word, stop forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. You see, I've not been to church in a long time. Start today, and maybe today you can start the process of church membership. Today, I call you to make sure to stop listening to your heart, listen to His Word. Don't just say you can worship God anywhere. Actually worship Him here with God's people. Listening to your heart instead of God's Word will affect who you worship, where you worship. It'll also affect, look at this, it'll also affect who leads your worship. It'll affect who leads your worship. Verse 31, He made shrines on the high places. And look at this. And He made priests from every class of people, and this is important here, who were not of the tribe of the people of the sons of Levi. That part about they were not of the sons of Levi, Exodus 28, Exodus 29 says, God's word says, that the priests would not come from Judah, the priests would not come from Naphtali, the priests would not come from Dan. Where would the priests come from? Levi, the sons of Levi. That's what God's word said. But what did Jeroboam's heart say? I'll make anybody a priest that wants to be one. And the Bible says that He made priests from all the different tribes, except for the ones that should have been doing it, according to God's word, Exodus 28 and 29. And just anybody became a priest. What happens to a God-called man? And what happens to a man who thinks he's called by God but's not? God's going to bless one and not the other. And these people who were not called, who were not sanctioned by the Lord or ordained by Him, they were leading the worship to these golden calves. I think of a story of a young boy who, Sunday morning after the service, the pastor was shaking his hand out the back. Not our pastor, but another pastor. He was shaking hands, and a little boy came up to him and gave him a dollar bill. He said, "Pastor, I want you to have this." He said, "Son, put that in the offering." He said, "No, Pastor, this is for you." He said, "Son, go buy you some bubble gum or something. Don't give me this dollar. You keep it." He said, "Pastor, I'm not leaving until you take it." Well, the pastor took that dollar and he stuck it in his pocket. He said, "Son, I'll take it, but I just need to know, why are you so insistent that I take this money?" He said, "Because this morning coming into church, Dad said, you're the poorest preacher we've ever had." Now, I'll tell you something. There's a lot of poor preachers out there. Don't amen it, okay? You know who they are. Just turn on the TV. There's some other ones that are poor preachers who do not love the sheep, but abuse the sheep. Who are not called by God. They're called by mama. But aren't you thankful, Lane Prairie Baptist Church? We don't have a man like that. We've got a man called by God. Amen? We've got another one called by God back here, amen? We got another one right over here called by God, amen? And guess what? You need, if you're here without a church, if you're here without a spiritual leader, you need men who are called by God who will tell you not what your heart wants to hear, but what God's word says. And you'll get that here at this church. Today I call you to stop put away the mumbo jumbo, put away the inspirational talk, and get you a man of God like this one and like these men who will tell you, "Thus saith the Lord." Today I want to call you to come and be a part of a church with men like that. You say, "How do I do that?" Just come out in just a moment and come speak to them and just tell them you want to make that decision. You know, there's some of you here today. I would just tell you, having been a pastor can be the most rewarding and sometimes the most frustrating job in the world. Because you take care of the sheep, and some of them love you, and some of them bite back. And you know what? It's kind of tough. And these guys didn't tell me to say this. I'm telling you because from my own personal experience, you say, well, you must have been a bad pastor. I guess I was. That's why I'm a professor now. But I can just tell you, it's not always perfect for these men. And maybe you just come up and you'd say to one of these men today in the altar, Pastor, I've not told you in a long time, but I love you. Pastor Ricky, I love you. Pastor Ricky, I love you. Thank you for holding to the truth of God even when it hurts and when I don't want to hear it. Maybe tonight, today, you need to encourage our pastors who are called by the Lord. Yes, because listening to your heart instead of God's word, it will affect who you worship. It'll affect where you worship. It'll affect who leads your worship, but that's not it. It'll also affect when you worship. You know that? It'll affect when you worship. Look what the Bible says in verse 32. Jeroboam ordered a feast on the 15th day of the 8th month. Now, listen, should we worship God every day? Yes, there's no problem with worshiping God every day. But it's not that he just worshiped him on this day like any other day. Look at what the Bible says. It was a feast like what? Like the one that was in Judah. Do you know what the one in Judah was like? It was one that was in accordance with Leviticus chapter 23, beginning in verse 33. It was the feast that had a name. Some of you may know it by Sukkot. Some of you may know it by booths. Some of you may know it by tabernacles. It was the Feast of Tabernacles. And by the way, it wasn't on this day. It wasn't on the 15th day, the 15th day of the 8th month. The Feast of Booths in Judah was on the 15th day of the 7th month. You see, that's what God's Word said. That's when you worshiped the Feast of Tabernacles, not on a different day, on God's day. But Jeroboam's heart said, I'll pick a day that's not like Judah's. You know, there's some of you here today that you say, I'll worship God when I want to. You'll be here on a Sunday. We won't see you again. There's some of you that won't be here on a Wednesday night. You won't be here on a Sunday night. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. I'm not about legalism or pharisaicalism. It's not that. But let me tell you something. The Bible says, do not neglect to be with the people. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Because let me tell you something. This church needs you on Sunday night. This church needs you on Wednesday night. And this church needs us all. And we've got to be here when we possibly can. Listen, there'll be times we can't be here, I understand that. But I just wonder, are you worshiping God when he wants you to? Or are you doing what your heart says and say, well, it'd be easier to stay on the couch tonight. Listening to your heart instead of God's word will affect who you worship, where you worship, who leads your worship, and when you worship. Maybe today you just come up and say, you know what, listen, we're not here to make anybody feel guilty. We're not here to stomp on your toes, but I'm just telling you, there's something this church misses out on, and there's something you miss out on if you're not here when you can be here. And maybe you just come up to the altar and say, God, I've just not been as faithful to this church as I need to. And God, that's going to change today. Last, and then we're done. Listening to your heart instead of God's word will affect who you worship, where you worship, who leads your worship, when you worship, and then finally, I want you to see this, it'll affect how you worship. You see, if the who is affected, if the when is affected, if the who leads your worship is affected, it's going to affect totally how you worship altogether. And that's what happens here in the Bible. Verse 32, the Bible says, look at this. And so he did at Bethel, sacrificing to the calves that he had made. That's how he did it. He installed the priests of the high places that, look at this, who had made? God had made? No, he had made. And so he made offerings on the altar. There's him doing it again, which he had made at Bethel on the 15th day of the 8th month, in the month which he had devised in his own heart. Our hearts affect our worship. And there's some of us here this morning that need to open our heart up and take our pride away and say, God, there's an area that you need to do business in my heart tonight. God is calling some of you. maybe that are members of this church, to greater service, to serve in some way. Maybe in the music department, maybe in the education department, maybe in the greeter department. I don't know what it is, but I'm reminded of a little poem I heard one time that kind of sums it all up. How are you going to worship God? How are you worshiping God right now? More than just coming to church, how are you worshiping Him? What are you doing? Once upon a pew, I sat and heard the preacher ask, "We need someone to teach a class. Now who will take that task?" Then God sat there beside me, and He said, "Son, that's a job for you. But Lord, to stand in front of a class is something I can't do. Oh Guy, oh Don, those guys can teach. There's nothing those guys won't do. 'Cause Lord, I'd rather hear my lesson taught from here upon my pew." Once upon a pew I sat and heard the preacher ask, "We need someone to lead the songs. Now who will take that task?" Then God sat there beside me and He said, "Son, that's a job for you. But Lord, to sing in front of a crowd is something I can't do. Brother Jake, he'll do the job. There's nothing Brother Jake won't do. I'd rather hear the music played from here upon my pew." Once upon a pew I sat and heard the preacher ask, "We need someone to keep the door. Now who will take that task?" And God sat there beside me and He said, "Son, that's a job for you. But saying things to strangers, Lord, is something I can't do. Delis and Deb, they can do it. There's nothing they won't do. 'Cause I'd rather someone greet me here while sitting on my pew." As the years just seemed to pass me by, I heard that voice no more. Until one night, I opened my eyes and woke on heaven's shore. There were four of us together there to face eternity. God said, "I just need just three of you to do a job for me." "Oh Lord," I cried, "I'll do the job. There's nothing, Lord, I won't do." But God looked back and said to me, "Son, daughter, in heaven, there's no pew." Are you doing what God has called you to do? It's all a matter of the heart. And God is working the heart of some people here this morning. First of all, I want to speak to members of this church. Are you worshiping the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your body, and your soul? Who are you worshiping? Are you as faithful to this church as God would want you to be? Are you thanking God for the men that He set up in leadership here? Today, some of you need to come to the altar, maybe come to these men and speak to these men. God's calling you to get your heart right with Him. There are some of you here today that you're Christians. Your heart's right. You're seeking the Lord. You're looking for a place of worship, but you've not had a place of worship where you belong. And today I want you to know you can belong to Lane Prairie Baptist Church. Today I call you. Today I invite you to come and speak to one of the men, and they can talk to you about the process of church membership so that you can unite with this church. Stop asking God, "God, send me a church," when He sent you one. And today He's calling you to come. Would you come today? Then last, there's some of you here today that you're worshiping something else other than God. You think you worship God. You may know you're not worshiping God, but you know you've not turned your entire life, soul, body, and everything over to God. There's never been a time, not when you got baptized. Listen, baptism's important. If you're saved, you're going to get baptized. That's what the Bible says. But we're not talking about getting the water to wash away the dirt. We're talking about Jesus washing away the sin, as Brother Josh said this morning. Maybe there's never been a time when the blood of Jesus Christ has washed away your sin. Today can be that day. I'm going to ask you to bow your head, close your eyes. No one look around. I'm going to ask Brother Ricky to come up. Pastor, I'm going to ask you to come up. And I want you to stand up here. They'll be the only ones that are looking around. The choir's not looking. No one sitting down is looking. Just the pastors are looking at this time. Maybe you're here today and you want to be forgiven of your sins. You've prayed before, but He's never truly forgiven you of your sins. And today is the day for you. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. I wonder, right there where you are, would you just whisper a prayer to God? And don't worry about the word so much as the heart behind it. But would you just say something like this: "Dear God, I'm a sinner. I need to be forgiven of my sin. I'm turning away from my sin right now, Lord. And I'm turning my eyes to Jesus. I believe Jesus died. I believe he was buried and raised. And Jesus, right now I make you my Lord. Thank you for forgiving me. With no one looking around but the pastors. If you prayed that prayer, not because of the words in it, but your heart was right, you're turning away from your sins, you're believing that Jesus is the only one that can make you right with God, and today he forgave you your sins. We're not going to embarrass you. We just want to pray for you. If you prayed that prayer for the first time today with the understanding, would you just put your hand up and put it right back down? We just want to see that and pray with you. Anybody here like that at all? Thank you for that hand back there.